Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology. Today we're going to take a look at the sun crossing the north node of the moon in the sign of Aries. Why this is significant, why you might be feeling it right now, and what it has to do with the upcoming eclipse. I'll be doing a separate video on the eclipse and its significations and broader context tomorrow. So today I just wanted to focus specifically on that north node sun conjunction, which is happening depending on which form of node measurement you use. But we'll get to that in a minute. So that's our agenda for today. Before we get into it, don't forget to like and subscribe. It really helps the channel to grow, as you guys know. And also love to hear your stories and comments if you have any to share. Transcripts of any of my daily talks can be found on the website, nightlightastrology.com. There are two things I am promoting right now on the website. And one of them is my upcoming live talk that's happening this month, right before Jupiter and Uranus get together. I am giving a talk on Uranus in love and relationships. And that seems appropriate for Uranus getting together with Jupiter in Venus's signs. We're going to be talking about Uranus in love and relationships on April 18th. It's $20 to register. You get the live link sent to you. And if you can't make it live, we will also send you the recording of the webinar. Now you can pick up Neptune in love or Pluto in love, which we did over the past 2 months, if you would like. And then the other thing I want to point you to is the first year course, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, which is my first year program. It is a year-long immersion into ancient astrology, Hellenistic astrology. It starts on June 16th. Registration is now open and need-based tuition is available. So if you'd like to study but need a little bit of help, we try to make sure no one's ever priced out. So you can scroll down to the bottom and click apply now on the tuition assistance plan if you need it. Otherwise, early bird payment is available and we have a payment plan that's available. So take advantage of that. And I'll be talking more about the program in the weeks to come. The other thing I am in the midst of promoting is my wife Ashley's herbal program, which you can learn more about at skyhouseherbs.com. Her herbal apprenticeship starts on April 24th. It is a 12-month online program in herbal medicine, plant spirit medicine, herbal energetics, really awesome course. And she is an amazing teacher. You'll find that need-based tuition is also available for that course, as are a few early bird prices and payment plans. So check those out. And after today's program, as I've been doing for the past couple of weeks, there's an interview that I did with Ashley about the herbal apprenticeship. And if you'd like to learn more about it, you can stick around afterward to hear more about her program and her background in herbs. You can learn more about her also on her YouTube channel, Skyhouse Herbs, or Instagram, Skyhouse Herbs. So on that note, we're going to do this a little bit off the cuff today. This is not like, I did one of those things where I'm like, okay, I've got a plan. And then all of a sudden I was like, screw it. I just want to talk about it. And I'm going to leave my plan at home for the day. Some of you guys, once in a while I do that, and I always feel like they make for the messiest, weirdest episodes, and somehow you guys really like them. So I'm always like, well, once in a while, just go off the cuff. Here's what we're looking at. We're looking at the sun crossing the north node of the moon. Now, I use the mean node, which is one of two different ways, the mean or the true, two different ways that astrologers measure the position of the node. Either way, it's very close to crossing the north node of the moon right now. It's an exalted sun crossing that node. So we want to talk about the significations of this and this north node sun conjunction, why it's important and what you might be noticing right now. So the first thing to say is simple. The north node of the moon had two basic meanings in ancient Western astrology and Indian astrology. In ancient Western astrology, the north node of the moon is the line at which the moon intersects the ecliptic, which is the path of the sun, as it is heading northward or up toward the pole star. For ancient astrologers, that movement in general was associated with remember, the moon, broadly speaking, is the ruler of fortune. It was the moon was the planet most closely associated with the realm of coming to be and passing away, the material world in which the archetypes play out in forms that come into being and pass out of being, like bodies. So a brief example would be that there are... I have a soul. It comes into a body and it goes out of a body in the material world. There are a million, there's the form, the ideal form of an apple, but there's a million different apples that live and die and, you know, appear and disappear in the material world. So that's the kind of Platonic thinking that was informing the development of the astrological system in the ancient world, at least in large part. So when you think about that, and you think about the moon as the realm, the ruler of the realm of fortune, it means that it has to do with the coming to be and passing away of people, places, things, environments, moods, energies, circumstances in the material world. That's why the moon ruled the body and the environment. So the moon is really interesting because when it, the node of the moon represents the point at which the moon crosses the path of the sun while heading upward. That upward trajectory was associated with ambition and with rises or gains or augmentation of fortune in the ancient Western tradition. It's associated with Jupiter, for example. So that things that expand, that grow, that go upward in the realm of fortune are often thought of as benefic, of an increase of fame, of strength, power, notoriety, mastery, ability, love, all the increased things that you can think of that you would like are often associated with the North Node in ancient astrology. However, not everything that grows or that gets bigger is necessarily better. You don't want a tumor to get bigger. You want it to get smaller. So there is a certain way in which the North Node of the moon can also point to the augmentation of things that are not very good. For example, pride, ego, and power all developing in getting bigger might not be the best thing in the world. So there's relativity with the North Node. Now, in the Indian tradition, Rahu is interestingly associated with some, you can say some similar things. Rahu is associated with the development of desire and the way in which desire takes us into new areas, new experiences. By means of our desire, we try and do new things in the hopes that by achieving what we desire, we will be happy or we will be successful or we will be enlightened or whatever. Insofar as Rahu is a malefic in the Indian tradition, there is an idea that Rahu is like an insatiable, hungry ghost that can never quite be satisfied. So no matter how much we try to itch that scratch or scratch that itch, or no matter how much we try to scratch that itch, it just doesn't do it. It's like it's still itchy. So, you know, there's a warning in many Indian astrological texts and so forth that the advice is something like, you know, be careful of Rahu as this kind of hungry ghost that's can never really be happy, even though it endlessly pursues its desires. Either way, what's interesting about the sun crossing the North Node is that where the sun represents life purpose, and remember, the sun, in contrast to the moon, is more closely representative of the A-Day, the Archai, the ideas and shapes and thoughts and archetypes in the mind of God. And again, just kind of reflecting that Platonic, Neoplatonic kind of philosophy. So the sun, in that sense, when it crosses the North Node, is hungry for a very powerful ideal image. There's an ideal image that grips us, that seizes us. Like from Rahu, we think, I'm definitely going to go in the direction of this impulse, this desire, this hunger, this thirst. And if I go in that direction, it's going to grant me something. And it could, but maybe never as much as you think. So it's an important time to be careful that we are checking our egos, our desire body, and being realistic, saying, well, look, I can go pursue these things because it's natural for my heart and soul to desire things and to have experiences in the world. And, you know, the universe allows for that because that's how we learn and grow. And that's what life is. There's nothing inherently wrong with that. But what can I honestly expect that this will bring me happiness, ultimate perfect happiness? Or is that something that I always have to keep locating within my own heart, no matter what I have or don't have, what I'm accomplishing? You know what I mean? Maybe the North Node Sun presents you with the image of a most amazing artist that you could possibly be, and you are going to throw yourself into your work, and you accomplish some great things. The point is, don't expect that you won't come back to the same place where this too shall pass. And, you know, if you haven't addressed happiness on the level of your consciousness, of your heart and soul, don't be fooled into thinking that this new thing will do it for you. That's sort of the warning. But that doesn't mean that you should discard or set aside the natural impulses and desires that you're feeling, especially those that feel like they are taking you in a new area of growth or learning or pursuing something that you naturally find yourself to be curious about or desiring. It's not illegal to want to have experiences, and desires are not bad. On the other hand, the North Node in the sign of Aries, and the sun, also exalted in the sign of Aries, will probably provide us with a very strong, energetic, vigorous impulse to start something new in the name of something that we really desire, that we have, that we see cast in golden light. That's the North Node and Sun. So just watch for those things, because these impulses are really strong. And why is this important? The North Node in Aries can augment, enhance, increase, strengthen, empower, start, and like kickstart new things with a lot of vigor and enthusiasm and the sense of potency and strength and energy behind it. That's like, this is the temple of the ram. This is Mars's sign, you know? So this, there's a lot of energy coming in behind this and a strong intention and desire for something. You just have to be careful that there are, and there will be shadows. So watch for them, try to stay aware of them. Be careful of the desire for an enhancement of ego or power, or, you know, those shadows that come up. The heroic impulse to gain fame and glory, and thinking that that will make us, that will wound a broken heart or insecurity, right? It's all of that classic stuff. Now, on the other hand, the other thing to be aware of is that this is happening, this crossing of the Sun and the North Node, right before our eclipse next week. So what you're getting a little preview of, you start to feel this energy coming up, it's closely connected to something that we'll be developing and then being tremendously enhanced at the time of the solar eclipse on April 8th. So, you know, the conjunction, you know, is really today, April 4th, but depending on if you use the true or mean node, I use the mean. But either way, it's happening right now as the eclipse is forming. This is happening right before the eclipse is forming on the 8th. So what you're getting a little preview of is likely to be further enhanced and strengthened with the eclipse. But now is a nice little moment where you might actually notice it's like a little foreshadowing that if you pay attention, will sort of show you the direction the eclipse is going to take you in. So I thought this would be a good time to just mention it, draw some attention to it. Remind us of the shadows, remind us of the, you know, and the promise too. I mean, gosh, an energetic new beginning with the promise of augmenting and enhancing things and taking us in the direction of growth and new desires and new interests, and places that might make us feel stronger. Well, there's something really beautiful about that. And I think as long as we pay attention to some of the shadows that astrologers also said we have to watch for, you know, with the North Node, then, you know, we should be fine. Let's just not let our egos get out of control, and don't pretend that anything we desire in this world takes away the need to keep doing that work, which is the work of just being here now and being, you know, being happy in who we are and where we are. It's kind of that, you know, that saying, it's so cliched, but it's the journey, not the destination. We got to remember that with these powerful energies in Aries, because they are the ones that are the most convinced that, well, what you do right now, if we take off in this direction, this will bring us happiness. Let's go, you know, and it can, and it will. And it doesn't take away the fact that we still have to be here now. If we get there and we've realized all of the goals and empowered ourselves in all of the ways that Aries imagined, guaranteed the same question will be there at the end, which is, now what? So, all right. Well, anyway, I hope that this gives you a good sense of this transit and just an ability to connect with it a little bit before the eclipse happens, and watch for more on the eclipse tomorrow. That's it for now. I hope you guys are having a good one. Stick around for that interview that I did with Ashley. That's coming up next. Bye. Hey, everyone. Thanks so much for sticking around. I'm really happy to be joined by my wife, Ashley, who is an herbalist. Hi, Ashley.
Hey.
And yeah, I'm really excited to be helping Ashley promote her upcoming program, which is something that you actually began teaching many years ago, this herbal apprenticeship program. I think it was, 2011 or 12 that it got started, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it's been over 10 years I've been offering this course, and yeah, it's my favorite thing to teach.
Yeah. And just to be clear, because some people on my channel, most people know you because you pop on here or there, we talk about herbs and astrology. There's an attraction in our marriage and an attraction in the subject matter that is old. Like, we've been together for, you know, 14 years in our relationship going on. And we've always had a fascination with each other's areas of expertise, and we've done lots of things to marry them together over the years, in addition to literally getting married. And and actually, herbalists and astrologers have married the subjects of herbs and planets together for thousands of years as well. Now, your program is focused on, you know, herbalism. It's not an astrology course, but there is certainly a lot of overlap in terms of the energetics and the spiritual approach to herbalism that you take. And so I was hoping that we could start off just by telling people a little bit about the program. You're coming to this after taking a little bit of time on maternity leave. Our kids were not yet in school. Now they are. You're coming back to work. This is really exciting. The new program launches at the end of April. I'm going to put it up on the screen so people can see it. You can find it at skyhouseherbs.com. Enrollment is open now. The course begins. You go under Courses, Herbal Foundations, Apprenticeship at the end of April. Tell us about it.
Well, this course, I guess my goal in redesigning the apprenticeship course that I've been teaching for 10 years is to make it even more personal and to allow people to study the material, digest it at their own pace. So what it's going to be is a combination of kind of three main parts. The first one is the recorded material. So there's going to be modules that will be released and people can listen to them as they, you know, as they have time. The second part are live classes where we will meet live on Zoom and talk about the module, I'll answer questions, I'll give even more information about it. And then the third part is the sacred plant pairings. And so I've always taught the herbal portion, like the plant diets, one at a time, but this year I'm going to do it in pairs because I think you can learn a lot by comparing and contrasting herbs. So for every module, you'll have two herbs to study and you'll get a little cheat sheet about them before you start the module. And then you'll have an opportunity to work with those two plants and blend them and keep them separate and just really work with them closely. Because my goal is that I want people to be able to find information that they can really use in their own lives, maybe with clients, whether they have a professional herbal practice or maybe they're a therapist in a different field, that they'll know these plants so that they can work with them really comfortably.
I love the different modules that you have, just so we can preview them for people. Module one is Vitalism and the Heart of Herbalism. Module two, Building Your Home Apothecary. They're so diverse. I love module three is my favorite, Plant Spirit Medicine, Energetics and Chemistry. You have such a holistic approach. It's what I've always loved about your teaching. You'll teach about the doctrine of signatures. You'll talk to people about how to communicate with plants, how to think of them as teachers that are living beings, that have personalities, that aren't just, you know, phytochemistry or whatever. But you will also teach phytochemistry. And I think that you have this really well-rounded way of helping people be intelligent about the plants, about the body, about the systems of the body, but also not afraid to use energetic systems, not afraid to take something from the kinds of energetics that ancient mystics were working with, whether that's the elements or whether that's, you know, some of the overlay with things like Ayurveda, Chinese medicine. You take what's useful on a symbolic and energetic plane and on a personal connection level with the plants, and you marry it to really smart scientific research. I think that that's rare. You don't see that a lot.
Well, thank you for saying that. Yeah, to me, it's all language. They're just different languages that we talk about the same thing. And I think the more diverse our languages as herbalists, the more we can reach more people. And that's kind of my goal. Like, I want everyone to like be able to identify plants, use plants. So we need to diversify the languages we speak so we can talk with our physicians, so we can talk with a therapist, we can talk with a mystic, right? We can talk with children. And we have a language that everyone can use.
You talk in the program, in your modules, you have stuff on digestive and gut health. You have stuff on detoxification, colds and flus, and, you know, dealing with virus seasons. You talk about tissue states, and you're talking about how to give things to your kids for, you know, helping them maybe at times even relax before bed at night. We use a lot of different things with our kids. I love this, that you have called this a... I'm going to find the phrase where you use that you use, and I'm going to mess it up. A community herbalist. What is a community herbalist, so that people can understand that definition? Because sometimes people might look at a course like this and think, gosh, unless I go to an accredited university for, you know, 8 years and learn all about chemistry. I have no right or business suggesting herbs to people or using herbs. That's just not true. And that's not the history of how folk herbal medicine has been used or taught. So what do you mean when you say community herbalist?
I think you said it perfectly. This is the people's medicine, and our grandmothers and great grandparents used plants as medicine. There's nothing actually that like hard about the practice of herbal medicine. It's just getting to know the plants and getting to know the times when they're most useful. I really envision that this course, people can take it and yes, use it for themselves. Number one, because I think a lot changes when we have the personal experience, and then using it in your family, whether that's just, you know, maybe making a tea for your dog, or, you know, if you have kids, or maybe you just have a partner, maybe you have plants you can use, and we'll talk about taking care of a garden, but using it for yourself, for whoever's immediately around you, and then taking it beyond that, because it's likely that at some point, you're going to be talking with someone. They're going to say, oh, you know, I've got this digestion thing and I've tried this and this. And they might say, hey, you're studying herbs. Is there anything that you would recommend? And you know what? You'll probably have a few ideas. And that, you know, you never know how one way that you help someone out there in the world might trickle and then help others and more people. So I think through the self-knowledge and studying this knowledge in your own body, it'll naturally, it's like, you know, impossible for it not to spread out and start to affect the broader community.
Yeah, I think that's really important. This is also for that reason, because we have a vision. I mean, you guys know through my Kickstarter, you guys helped us build a community herbal medicine garden that Ashley's been hosting free and donation-based events out of, that the donations go back to right back into the garden and just growing the medicine that we then find ways of harvesting and giving to other people or letting other people come and harvest. We have a vision, we always have, back to the days when we had our yoga studio in Maryland, we have always had a vision of making this sacred knowledge accessible to people. And that is both there in this program in terms of the way you're framing what it means to be an herbalist. It might mean that you're a professional and you see clients and you could continue beyond this program developing the skills to do that. This would certainly set you up for success. You could also go forward and be someone who uses what you know with friends and family and yourself. And that's an incredible set of tools to have. The program's also very accessible from both a programming standpoint and a price standpoint. I'll take you back over and show everybody. The programs, the modules are pre-recorded, but then you meet outside of the modules for discussion, community, Q&A, and sort of development and integration. So people can attend those live. If they miss those integration sessions, they can also watch the replays of those. So
absolutely, yeah.
Anyone could take this at their own rate, you know, as slowly or as quickly as you wanted to, really soak it in, or blaze through it. And, you know, and then we can certainly, beyond this program, as Ashley perhaps makes more advanced programs available as she's easing back in out of maternity leave, can help you with further development or recommend you to many other wonderful programs where you can continue your studies. We want this to be accessible. We want community herbalism to be, you know, as simple as being able to show a friend a couple of yoga stretches. We should be able to show each other herbs, you know, and just, hey, this is a helpful herb to use. Also, accessibility price-wise, we have an early bird enrollment and we have a standard enrollment. And then we have tuition level one assistance and tuition assistance level two, which break out the affordable tuition into different levels of affordability. And you can kind of identify where you're at if you're someone who wants to take this program but needs to work within your means and not hurt yourself doing it. And then for those who can pay, we ask that you use standard or early bird enrollment. And that's the same thing I do for all my astrology programs. So we try to keep it super, super accessible. The Herbal Apprenticeship Program starts April 24th. I know Ashley's super excited to be getting back into teaching too. I also would like to offer Ashley just a chance to tell everyone a little bit about, before we end here this interview, tell everyone maybe a little bit about your own background, who you studied with, what your influences are, and just anything else you want to say before we cap it off.
Ooh, okay. well, I think, you know, I started off as a kid playing in the woods, mixing perfumes and potions. And then I went on to study environmental science, where I studied organic chemistry and restoring native wetlands. And really from an environmental perspective, that's how I got into herbalism. And then after, you know, I realized after working on the restoration piece and joining a lot of earth advocacy groups that the problem's not with the earth, but with the people not mm-hmm. understanding the value of the earth. So then I started going into holistic medicine. I graduated from University of North Carolina, Asheville with a degree in interdisciplinary studies. And I went on to get my, that was my undergrad. And then I got my master's from the Maryland University of Integrative Health. It was then called Thai Sophia. But my teachers there, you know, I had such a great blend of teachers, really scientific minds, like Simon Mills from the UK and Kevin Spellman, who is like a chemistry genius. He's also an Ayurvedic practitioner, studied with Dr. Vasant Lad. Matthew Prisco, medicine maker from Galen's Way out in California. So I had a really wonderful, diverse variety of teachers in that 3-year full-time master's level program. And then after that, I went on to study with Matthew Wood pretty intensively because I liked his energetics. I liked the way he spoke about the plants and his personal experience working with low dose, drop dose medicine. And he has had amazing, he's done such amazing work herbally with just using that method. And I've got a lot of herbalists in my basket.
David Duke comes to mind.
Jim Duke, Margie Flint, Rosemary Gladstar is like, I've only done one herb walk with her, but it was amazing. So, you know, I have shelves of herbal books and people who I just adore. Yeah. And yeah, I just feel really grateful that I've had that blend of the science and the energetic herbalism and the traditional herbalist perspective as well. And I try my best to blend them together and to give everyone a really diverse yet integrated herbal studying experience.
Yeah, absolutely. You get that. That is exactly what you'll get if you sign up for Ashley's program, which I encourage you to do. If this is the kind of thing that interests you, you won't regret it. It's a fantastic course with someone I absolutely love, obviously, but also like a really, truly fantastic human being and teacher of plant medicine. And if you want to learn more about her, see her work, get to know her a little bit, check out her YouTube channel, Sky House Herbs, where she publishes weekly on plant medicine, plant energetics, and also on Instagram, which is Sky House Herbs. So the apprenticeship program starts April 24th. I wanted to get Ashley on, brag about her program, turn you guys on to it. Thank you so much for being here. And I'm sure that we're going to see some people from the Nightlight astrology world getting introduced to you and all of your magic.
I would love that. Thank you.
All right. Take it easy, everyone. Bye.